We're going to spend the next part of the program talking about how publishing businesses are changing. To kick that off, we've invited Ken Michaels, who's the COO of Hachette, to talk about a subject near and dear to his heart, which is cloud-based software solutions. Ken had a large part in convincing us that this topic is so important that we're devoting a full-day conference to it on July 26th here in Manhattan, and we took the liberty of papering the seats to make sure that all of you would know about it. We've just received word that Tata Consulting Services is coming aboard at the Cloud Conference as a platinum sponsor, joining Copyright Clearance Center and Constellation, as well as a raft of table sponsors. Now, Ken clearly gave us a very good idea there. Now he's going to give you a few. Thanks a lot. Ken Michaels.
Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here to talk to you about software as a service, and more importantly, why it is pertinent to publishing, and hopefully to help you think differently about your strategic approach to the challenges we are all facing in the industry. First, let's be very clear. SaaS is not a new model. Rather, it's one that executives haven't fully embraced in the publishing industry yet. Let's start by looking quickly at the changes in the last few years. Heck, even past few months, our daily headlines say it all and are just a small percentage of new service or capability announcements challenging us all to rethink our business investment strategies virtually every day. Processes are changing, consumer behavior is changing, our business models and competitors are all in flux. The speed of change is dizzying, and it's not slowing down anytime soon. The way I see it, there are three important trends that indicate that we are at the beginning of the transformation and not at the end. First, the whole concept of mobility. As you can see, the mobile trend is picking up speed and is a large driver to the transformation we are experiencing. Mobile will increasingly be the way consumers access content, as they are quickly growing more comfortable with using digital, flexible, agile devices for multiple purposes. Our business models have to address this changing consumer behavior so that we can easily and reliably give consumers what they want at the right price and in the right way. This kind of digital evolution is complicating our investment strategies and creating stress on publishers. So now we have consumers with new delivery and consumption behaviors, and guess what? New expectations. Okay, so we just invest in mobile products, and that should solve things, right? Not that easy. Due to time pressures and more choices than ever, consumers are losing what was once a fun experience in leisurely browsing, touching, and discovering in stores. With many stores closing, many consumers have only a very narrow few inches of digital screen to navigate the massive world of content. It's like the store manager only letting you see the first table blocking the entrance, when you know there's a sea of opportunities and the clerk will only let you see one book at a time. Heck, as a consumer myself, I joined the masses in screaming for better navigation tools, recommendation engines that know me, social media tools to understand what like-interested friends and communities find relevant, collaborating, sampling, going deeper in context with rich media to find things, and on and on. Ironically, we all know this. No secret. So do venture capitalists and technology partners. And that is why we will see and will continue to see huge investments changing the publishing ecosystem. The frustrating part is at the very time when our publishing ecosystem should be coming together to talk through workflows, technology, best practices, and new standards, with perhaps BISG, or the Book Industry Study Group, as the most relevant organization to help facilitate this, we are finding a lack of participation, splintering with all the players trying to use technology not to improve the overall experience and execution of the value chain, but to invade each other's spaces in the value chain, adding to massive confusion and fragmentation of approaches. This chart is just one example of this. As consumers scream for ease of discovery, multiple industry players, many trying their hand in self-publishing, are flooding the industry with a vast amount of new titles. Like it or not, this trend will continue. Discovery will get harder. So investments in discovery, shifting advertising techniques, new skill sets in branding, and coordinated agile publicity, a new term, as well as data science and architecture are our new realities. So we've just spotlighted access changes, then discovery changes. The third trend is the final purchase vote from a consumer. Here we see the reality that digital and physical are both here to stay. Gaming and music were well ahead of publishing and digitization, and yet they still have very healthy physical net revenue percentages. So the reality is that we will need to invest in both simultaneously for a very long time. That challenges us to having to build digital capabilities properly and not in a reactionary, helter-skelter way as a standalone process within a company. This means creating content once, storing it once, and being able to manage all life version changes centrally. It includes creating processes that deliver to all types of consumption gateways or formats. It includes a seamless integration of both digital and physical investment strategies to create the intelligence and agility that our new world demands from operations. This is our new and evolving world of publishing. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard or read for yourselves, but while it's easy to look at these types of charts and agree on what the trends are and what's changing, the biggest challenge for publishers is to know how to prioritize. Where to invest and how to do it in a holistic way to add incremental value in order to keep up. So now let's look at investment demands. We're all aware that the marketplace is becoming complex. To understand how complex, let's look at some typical common processes publishers all have and what is changing that mandates new investments and capabilities. Understand that any investment must help us improve quality, speed, and service while driving simplicity and where able automation. These are the overarching goals that drive our investments and must keep in mind no matter what process or area of the business we are examining. Let's begin with author acquisition. Authors want world-class physical and digital publishing programs. So investments have to be around digital product, digital enhancements, digital apps, as well as self-service access to intelligence and information. Quite an investment list just to remain relevant for authors. Next, we move to content creation. The mantra here is create content once for all formats. That means re-engineering editorial, managing editorial, and production workflows to work on concepts like agile publishing, XML first, global digital workflow tools, and contextual tagging. With all this digital content, data storage becomes crucial, with portability and security our main goals. This means investing in digital asset management tools, version controls, supply chain integration, and working identifiers in order to bundle rich media assets. In transaction processing, we have to ensure proper rights tracking and intelligence, customer relation management as we grow both B2B and consumer direct intelligence, and be able to provide web self-service to our clients, customers, and partners. As for the delivery side, for physical products, the investment approach is all about capturing sales intelligence, the demand drivers across marketing and publicity, and demand and supply planning coordination through the supply chain to improve inventory management. In digital products, our focus is on enabling easy format conversion and mobility, solving moray display gaps, and creating two-way interaction capabilities between authors with publishers and consumers. As we near the top of this list, we get to the presentation layer. With all the new formats and devices, as well as reader preferences, we need to enable seamless conversions, to provide our business partners with decision support tools and self-service capabilities while allowing personalization and relevance to our readers. Lastly, we arrive at reach. We want to deliver the right product at the right price with the right access. Therefore, we must be prepared with publicity and marketing intelligence tools, social media tools, consumer portals, recommendation engines, and a syndication approach to content. As you can see, every layer is uniquely complex and requires different investments. It's very difficult to do all these things while you're still watching margins. It is virtually impossible to attack every layer of needs and do it well. So today's publishers must decide, where do we invest and where do we bring in partners? My suggestion to you is to stick to your knitting. Focus on what makes you unique and what your company can claim as a core competency, and focus your energy there. Then find world-class partners to do the rest. By no means a new concept, but one that at this point in time needs the full attention of all publishing executives in this space. Publishers do not have to be experts at every process or capability, nor do they need to build these tools for themselves. However, there are times when no partner tool or product exists to meet our needs. This is where you either have to look beyond the typical publishing boundaries to find similar solutions, or decide to take on the risk of developing a new product or service outside the core competencies of your existing team. If successful, then you and your customers can benefit. And perhaps an opportunity exists for you to leverage this expertise to other partners and other competitors. To bring this home, let's look at some of the choices we've made at Hachette. When we identify a new trend or needs, understand we look at our options, but we first look to join up with world-class partners. Rather than build the capabilities ourselves, where proven partners already exist. Where did we use SaaS providers? The first example is an older one called email. And let's be clear, nothing new about that service, and I would wager that virtually no one in this room has a homegrown built solution for email. That everybody licenses a provider application for that service. That, my friends, is software as a service. As to the two other examples on the left, we were faced with a problem in needing a piracy monitoring capability for our authors. Nothing existed inside of Hachette or even in the trade space. So a few years ago, we reached out to a attributor who had a similar service in other content verticals and brought it to trade publishing. The other problem was ebook processing and finding a way to deal with a vast amount of data in varying formats from different retailers and do so in a way as to be efficient, effective, and productive while concentrating on exception management. Again, royalty share out of the music industry fit our needs, and we were the first to apply this into trade publishing. So three examples of how we determined that this was not a skill set or capability that we wanted to invest in and own internally. And there's many more, but you get the point. However, as I've said, there are times when what your company needs doesn't exist in the marketplace. At Hachette, like each of you, we wrestled with wanting to solve certain industry pain points and opportunities and decided in some case to innovate for ourselves. Some of these innovations led to Hachette winning the Publisher Innovator of the Year Award from Book Business Magazine. Today, the concept of SaaS, which runs on cloud technology solutions, is critical for the industry, which is why I appreciate Michael Cater and Mike Shaskin giving me the time to make that point today and for taking up the challenge of doing an entire conference on the subject. Their Publishing in the Cloud event will be a critical event for the publishing sector to pay attention to be held on July 26th at Baruch on Lexington and 25th Street. So, why should the C-level and every company embrace this concept? couple of reasons. Like it or not, the industry is changing, and thus the strain on our economic viability has never been greater, forcing us to rethink business models, figure out prioritization of investment, and look for cheaper ways to execute. SaaS and cloud is cheaper. Because executing today means investing in and ensuring excellence in both print and digital, SaaS and cloud offerings can reduce this dual investment strain. The undeniable speed and complexity of technology makes it unreasonable to expect us to keep up with it, let alone to get ahead of the curve. For many, technology is not a core competency inside the business. Why not look at distributing the risk and the ownership? The modular attributes of software as a service deals are one of the main benefits. You can buy a piece of workflow and bolt it into your overall processes quickly. You can choose the best fit for your business and customize as needed and be up and running in 90 days on most products. New World Publishing requires embracing standards, open environments, and skill sets you never dreamed of a few years ago. Skill sets like software engineering, data architects, data scientists, mobility analysts, and social media marketing. All new skills not traditionally associated with publishing. For the really brave that decide to bring investment in-house and hire these skills, then they have to overcome the traditional lack of training budgets. It is costly and time-consuming to keep employees interested, invested, and productive when technology is changing so fast. And make no mistake, when digital comes, new operational requirements for near 100% uptime, no outages, solid redundancy and reliability are the mandate. I can't imagine how a company can do this without cloud technology bringing scalability and more cost-effective infrastructure. If all of this sounds like a lot, it is. And your cultures have to adjust to each change you introduce. Sometimes outsourcing the competency and shifting focus to inputs, outputs, reporting, and service levels you may need, rather than trying to build it, is the right answer. Finally, there is power in numbers. And so the more talent and partners that you have on a service adding value and improving the competency of that service, the more involved and relevant that service or competency becomes. So SaaS, if done right, will help drive best practices and improvements by the sheer intellect from the voices of the many professionals across the ecosystem. In closing, my message to you all is that you can catch up with what's competitively required today. Taking advantage of SaaS is quicker than investment. It's not the solution for all the missing pieces, but leveraged in the right way, it can help you launch forward in a way you could never do yourself without great costs and development time. And this is why, in short, I look forward to the changes in the industry, because therein lies opportunity to partner, to invest, and to recreate yourself. I encourage for all of you to start thinking about how your business is planning to adapt, and then take the opportunity to learn more about cloud SaaS offerings to the industry at the upcoming July 26th conference. Thank you.
Thank you.